Thanks be to the Lord. What a blessing for us to be together again, as we were reminded that we have such a blessing to be safe in the arms of Jesus, and what a privilege we have to come again together and to open his word and to pray as a body of believers. For tonight's parable, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 46. It's only three verses, but there are two different parables. Very small, but it has a lot of meaning. As we go through that, let's read Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The first parable is the parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The second parable is the parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Father, we look into your word with thanksgiving. Thank you for this opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless our time as we look into your word, as we study this word together, that you would help us to grow in you and to be more useful for your kingdom in the days ahead. We ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, these two parables kind of gives a summary that Jesus is valued more than anything else. So that is the high-level definition. When we go into this, the main truth that we get from these two small parables is that there's no other thing valuable than the Lord Jesus. You know, the kingdom of God is of great value, but for one person to get that, he or she has to give up everything else to gain it. And that's an important piece to be reminded, that you cannot purchase the kingdom of God with good deeds or with money. You know, but you can only get it by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the true, simple truth that we see in these three verses, that the Lord Jesus is valued more than anything else. But to get to that, we have to submit ourselves, recognize the value of the Lord Jesus, and come to him. And it is not by our own effort, but what we do or what we have to give, but just come in simple faith and come to him, and he would accept us, and then we would see the great value in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first one talks about the parable of the hidden treasure. So this is the treasure that is hidden in a field, and the man finds it, and he hides it, and for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he had and buys that field. You know, if you look at the context in those days, you know, treasures are not kept in banks. There was no bank in those days. So a lot of the times the tradition goes that people would hide these treasures in different parts on the ground, and they would know where exactly that is. So you may come across a field which would have some hidden treasure because someone else have hidden that maybe in time past. So this portion kind of gives us the notion that the treasure is hidden, and the person who finds it was joyful that he goes and sells all that he had, and he buys that field. So that brings up this good point that when you look into the life of a believer, or let's say examples of Apostle Paul, what he went through and the joy that he had in giving up all that he had to come to the knowledge of Christ. A very familiar passage is to go to Philippians chapter 3. This is a very familiar passage that we all know, where Paul talks about his background, what he was and what he became. In between, we see what he had to give up. We see that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, but look down in verse 7 and 8. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. So here we see Paul is giving the same notion that he found the treasure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything else is of no value. All his ancestral heritage, his position as a Hebrew of the Hebrews, the education that he had growing up in the school of theology, all those things has no value when you think about what he had gained. So this is a good picture of what we see in a believer who comes to know Christ, that everything else will fall apart. We know the story of Jim Elliot, who went to Ecuador, the missionary, and he said these beautiful words that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. A very profound statement. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that's exactly what the mindset that we see in this passage too, that a person finds the treasure and is willing to give everything else to buy this treasure. So looking into that context, what is the treasure that we are trying to get? The Lord Jesus is the treasure, and in him, there is abundance. He is the portion for all of us. And the question comes as we look into that, is the Lord truly our friend? Is our mind set upon him? And is everything else kind of fading away? Like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face, and all the things of the world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, when you keep Christ as a focus, everything else becomes worth. So the question is that, is he our abundant treasure? Is he our portion? You turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We read like this. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Look at the first verse. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So everything is complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is preeminent. When we think about the preeminence of Christ and the reconciliation we have in Christ, all the fullness of Godhead dwells in him. So he is the treasure that a man ought to seek and go after. We also read John chapter 1 and verse 16, and of his fullness we have received grace for grace. Again, we see the fullness of Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So the Christ is the embodiment of all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, and there's nothing else that compares with him. He is incomparable with anything else. So are we willing to focus on him and see the treasure that is in front of us? Are we willing to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and own him and be that portion for us? So the Lord is a treasure of wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, grace, and peace. All these are laid upon Christ. So if we have an interest in him, it becomes ours. And that is what we have to claim. When we talk about Christ being the treasure, we are claiming all that we have in Christ, because he is the embodiment of wisdom, knowledge, righteousness, grace, and peace. So within the gospel, we see the treasure is hidden. So now let's go back to the property that we talked about. The treasure is like in a field. So the word of God or the gospel is the field, and the treasure is hidden within that field. So a person who reads the gospel or reads the word of God would truly come to know Christ, because Christ is the treasure that is hidden in the gospel. So another thing to keep in mind is that this treasure is not contained in a small piece, like in a garden or a well in those days, but rather it's in an open field. And that brings up another point, that this is open to anyone who comes to know Christ. So an open field means the invitation is open, that people can come. Anyone who is thirsty, the Lord Jesus says, come to me. So the word of God says that if anyone comes to Christ, he is received. As we see in John chapter 1, many have not received him, but to those who received him, he gave the power, the right to be the children of God. So the gospel is open to all. What a beautiful picture of the open field, that the invitation is open to everyone. And anyone who is willing to come and come to Christ is given this treasure, and he or she can own it. A beautiful picture of an open field. Another thing to keep in mind is that when we think about a field, this person finds the treasure, and he sells everything, and he buys that field. Now we have to figure out to dig for that treasure. So digging into the Word of God is an important piece of knowing Christ, that we go into the Word of God. We turn to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. But here we see talking about wisdom. Seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. Digging into the field and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem is that many times the field might look unattractive. The world might see the field as very unattractive. But we know that some of the richest mines appear in lands that look barren. You know, so the looks from outside, it might look very barren. But some of those lands, when people are excavating, you can see beautiful treasures which are not seen from the top. So people fall into this danger that they look at the surface of the field and assume that the field is there. And this is happening in today's times too. You look at the Lord Jesus, that people just skim on the portion on the top and just fall away. But we dig and go deeper, we will see the treasure that is hidden. So searching the scriptures, and you will see life. You see that in John chapter 5 and 39, that if you search the scriptures, you will find life. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, it says here, do not come short. So this is, again, a warning of people trying to dig, that they would come short. It says here that since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. And this is where people come short of finding the treasure, because they look at the top portion and they just move away rather than digging for the treasure. Secondly, looking diligently. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. So warnings are like this. Do not come short. Secondly, look diligently. And then we see in Psalm 105 and verse 3 that the hearts will rejoice to those who seek the Lord. So when we search the treasures deep into the ground, we would truly find the value, the treasure, the Lord Jesus Christ. And those hearts would rejoice. So people who dig the top portions and go away thinking that is it, would never find it. But rather, we have to dig in into the scriptures to see the treasure that is hidden. So moving on to the next portion, the parable of the pearl of great price, verses 45 and 46 of Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. A similar picture that we see, that he finds one pearl of great price and sold all that he had and bought it. You know, the people in today's world are busy seeking pearls. Some of them are honorable, some of them are learned, but some of them are counterfeits. You know, people are going after a lot of, but are we going after the true pearl, the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus is the pearl of great price, a jewel of value that cannot be estimated. Those who have it will become rich towards God. When we have them, we are happy forever, because we have this treasure of eternal life. And once we have that pearl, we are happy for eternity. So a true Christian is like a spiritual merchant. So in this passage, we see that a merchant, and he seeks and finds the pearl of great value. He does not fall short in his interest for Christ. Another thing to keep in mind is that he, desiring to be spiritually rich, he trades high. So not only he bids for this one pearl, he buys it. You know, so what is the point or value for us to know Christ when we do not know him as ours? You know, a lot of the times people would have a artificial knowledge of Christ, but they don't own him. They don't have him in sight. It's just a theory, like a head knowledge. But to know Christ, we have to own him as ours. Here in this picture, we see that this person, when he found that one pearl of great price, that he was willing to sell all that he had to possess it. So keeping that in mind as believers, you know, is Christ the true pearl that we are possessing? Are we owning Christ in our lives? Or is it just more like we have a head now? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But of him you are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. If you go through the passage from verse 26 all the way down, Paul is reminding that our glory remains only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see in this passage that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and all the things that which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. The reason is that we see in verse 29, so no flesh should glory in his presence. God has chosen the foolish thing. You know, it is not based on our education, our status, what we are doing. But it's because of his grace and mercy that we have come to know this great pearl of wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we really willing to part everything else, to own up to him and keep him as our only one pearl? And that is something that we have to ask ourselves. Is he the true ownership, the true owner of our lives? Is he on the throne and there's nothing else that's sitting there? Those who have a saving interest in Christ must be willing to part all for him. We have to leave all and follow him. So whatever stands in between must have to be given up cheerfully. It is not done out of compulsion. When we come to Christ, we have to give up everything else cheerfully. And then we would have him as our own. There should have nothing between us and Christ. If there are any idols that are between us and him, we have to examine our hearts and remove them. And he should have the centerpiece of our hearts. He should be the Savior, the Lord, and Master. In the story, we see that this man had so much to possess, but he gave everything up to buy that one pearl. As believers, God has given the opportunity for us to know him. The time passed, we all have come to the knowledge of Christ. But are we truly keeping him in the center of our hearts? Is he the master and the Lord of our hearts? You know, is he having the preeminence that he ought to have? So let's keep those things in our hearts. So coming back to this parable, as we close this passage about the kingdom of heaven and the treasure and the pearl, let us continue to keep him as the center point of our lives, that he should have all the glory and none from us, but he should increase and we should decrease, as we were reminded by John the Baptist, that he should increase and we should decrease. May God help us to do that. May we continue to examine our lives and see where we stand. And may he have the preeminence in our hearts, and may he take all the glory that is due unto his name. His name be glorified.